session as a group. Unfortunately, our chair, Stormy Scott, is indisposed, and so as vice chair, I will be acting in her stead to get things going. I would first like to observe we have just a very tiny amount of business, and we can get that over very quickly. It's 6 after 7 on the 4th of August, 2009, and I observe a quorum of the commissioners of ANC 1B, Dave Wasserman, Oliver Tunda, Bill Lepanto, Jet McKay, and Greg Evans. 5 of the 6, so we have a quorum. The only business that I know of that is pressing at this point is to is the treasurer. So.
Great, welcome. Yes, we need to authorize the payment of $100 to Health and Community Services to provide interpretation services at this meeting.
I second the motion, and is there any discussion? All in favor of this, say aye.
Aye.
It is unanimous, 5-0. There being no other business,
can you give us a report on the Capital City charge?
Yes, I've had extensive correspondence with them back and forth to set up a date. Finally met for a little over an hour. And it went very well. We decided that we would move to a cooperative agreement form to put our agreements into place. Unfortunately, everybody got a challenge, so we agreed certify it at the regular ANC meeting on the 18th would be final again. And it looks like, in fact, they are in favor of having our agreements memorialized in a way that, so the changing personnel and so on, we won't have different memories of the thing. And they are most anxious. In fact, they want us to have an agreement where they shift 1/2 of their time for community projects, which is part of their curriculum, to be for and with Mount Pleasant. And but they expect us to help find those projects. So they want that in mind.
The bottom line is, we are not going to interfere with the permit process for Capital City.
Well, we've agreed that a short delay may be okay, but we're going to try to get everything cleared up before our meeting on the 18th. And if so, I think we can come up with everything. So, is there any other business? Then I think we can adjourn the business portion of this meeting. I see nods all around, so I declare that without objection that the business portion is adjourned. At the time?
9 after 7.
9 after 7. A 3-minute ANC meeting.
It's got to be a wrap.
We need to do
that.
Let me see. Do we have the transmission equipment set up? One of the ways that we typically do this is just to go around the room and everybody gets 20 seconds to introduce themselves. I'm Greg Edwards. I live on 16th block of Lamont Street.
Mi nombre es
Rosa
Rivas,
tengo la
residencia
en Montes.
¿Si puede hablar en español? Okay.
Sí.
Mi nombre es Rosa Rivas y vivo en Montes.
My name is Rosa Rivas and I live in
Mason.
What are you going to do about it? Are you going
to Dave Bosserman with her. Tariq Bolden, D.C. Office of Planning. I'm chairing this planning effort.
Claudia Schlossberg, now present resident for 31 years.
Welcome.
Duke and Paula Kwan, we're on Monroe near 19.
I actually am a resident of Silver Spring, Maryland, but I am here representing a DC nonprofit.
Oh.
Rebecca Janet, Irving Street. Eleanor Hart, Hobart Street.
Paul Munson, 16th and New.
Woody Munson, Denver, for who's the
guy? Phil DePonto, Monroe Street, 18th, 17th, 1.
Alex Kramer, 15 years on Lamont Street, owner of Joe Springos, and president of Business Association.
Jack Kay, A&T, and the resident of 35 years.
Gladys Mitchell, just the 2 years on Kilborn, but. Barbara Mitchell, 25 years, 1800 block of Lamont.
Yep. And Bill Marcado, I can't get to paraphrase, but I have to leave it in my confession here since 1989. Now we're trying to get also here to interpret. I've been living on Pleasant Area. I work right here in this office, East Mission High School in the world, and I work, I live over at the Joy Park.
My name is Sagela. I'm the director
of the
I'm Julian Gonzalez. The reason you see all these interpreters is because there is a class that is being funded by OLA and part by some consultancy and other agencies. And these interpreters are training on community interpreting. So we're here so that they can provide certain hours to the community.
Very good.
Now, as we have, as the George Recorder Committee sent this meeting up, the idea was to ask people that may have thought about what they would like to see. And of course, talk about the future, especially as the George Recorder. And to take about 3 minutes, unless you're representing a group, to present your ideas and your thoughts, and then we will have a short discussion for those that where there are some proposals. Alex, you. Can you begin? Do you have some ideas for representing the business association?
We're concerned, as I was explaining to Jeff and some of the other commissioners earlier, we're concerned with the immediate right now, with the vacancies on the street, the barriers and the blocked up buildings and the old bell and around the corner. It's been a real problem for the businesses, and it's hard to predict the future if we can't work with the immediate. It's cut off. We've lost 20%. Our business has lost 20% because of the vacancy in all that building. There's no parking in front, there's no passageway. I understand this is about a future of Mount Pleasant, a bigger picture, but it's hard to look past. We've been made promises that this was all going to be, we're done after the fire and all of that. And business association is concerned with that. We do have what we had, I've been asked the advisory committee the questions, and we have responses, but that's a page or so I can submit that.
Well, this is more of a discussion. Can you give us an example of a few of your issues?
We'd like the street cleaned up, and opened up, accessible, so it can be passed through.
Okay.
That's the basis.
Yes. Shall I shut off the
push it up.
Could I follow up on what Alex said? I talked to Jim Graham.
By the way, you know, part of what we should do is give both names, first and last names, and to identify ourselves. So we'll get used to with each other's names. I know in our heart.
And I did talk to Jim Graham about the building across the street. And he said there has been some movement. In fact, he had a meeting in his office with the principals. The court is getting interested in it and interested in the claim that the tenants filed, I guess, years and years ago. But I think we need to push Jim on this. And I just want to remind people that next year is an election year. And both Jim and Adrian Penty are up. And if we're ever going to get that, it's going to be as the election approaches.
Any other?
Yes, I want to go. I have that letter. Nos hemos reunido con el mismo.
This Sunday,
no me Rosa Rivas.
My name is Rosa Rivas.
Nos reunimos este domingo varios latinos residentes de acá de Montes Santa.
This Sunday, some residents and some business owners located here in Montes, and we held a meeting.
Debido a esto, tengo acá para presentarles una carta de parte de ellos.
And on behalf of that, because of that meeting, I come here to present to you what we came up with that meeting.
We started a new association, the Latino Association of Home Pleasant. Good evening. The Latino Association would like to give all thanks for the leadership demonstrated by this body. I'm here today representing the Latino Association. Number one, the Latino Association would like to inform you that last Sunday we had
created an association that is integrated
by Latino resident and Latino owned business. And number two, the Latino Association has identified a number of issues that is affecting all Latino community in Mount Pleasant. Number three, we have received today a translation material from the Office of Planning. Number four, there is very obvious that Latino must get organized at other communities between Mount Pleasant to have a fair representation in
strengthening
the process. There is a need for Latino to get more involved in this process. We, the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant, is requesting to please us more time for us to come out and provide you with a recommendation for a more pleasant community that welcome all. Thank you.
Gracias.
This is I will not do that.
That's secretary.
You want to pass, please?
Gracias.
For mi amigo, I'll look up. Other presentations. I was hoping to see someone here from, for instance, Mount Pleasant Main Street. So perhaps they will arrive later.
Are you calling for group presentations first?
Or any prepared presentations, since we asked, it's part of our invite, we asked people to prepare them. And it seems that since we asked them to prepare them, we should give them the first priority. Plus the courtesy of the discussion afterwards, so that their ideas are not lost in the backlash. Well, then, Barbara, you had
Yeah, I had some good briefs, we didn't prepare as much, but I'm speaking as an individual.
Okay.
So I want to be sure we get the group presentations out of the way, this is only.
Well, I call for any further group presentations, and I heard none, so I think we should move on. Time will go very fast.
You have that swivel.
Yes. Well, perhaps we could ask everybody to come to the front pew.
You want the swivel chair?
No, but you can perhaps position yourself in the middle so that people don't see your back.
Oh, no, I wasn't worried about that. I was worrying about you chairing and that.
No, it's fine.
You have to be inserted back. Okay, so I'll
as charged, I have a very flexible back.
I'm Barbara Hayden, and I'm speaking as a neighbor, so I'm only going to take about 3 minutes. But as I said in the introductions, I live in the 1800 block of Vermont, which is a very leafy, beautiful, quiet row house neighborhood. The row house zone of Mount Pleasant is gorgeous, and I love living there. I've been there 25 years. How many people present in this room live in the row house zone? Row house zone. What do you think garden does?
Just row houses.
West of 18th Street?
West of 17th.
West of
17th. West of 18th?
Oh, I don't know.
17th. She corrected 17th.
West of 18th.
West of
17th. Okay, well, let's reverse then, because this is interesting. Often the turnout for planning meetings is mostly row house owners. So how many people are here from apartments in Mount Pleasant? Okay. All right.
So it's about 2 to 1.
Right. The reason I ask you this is the row house district, your lovely, quiet, green leafy district, is not under threat of change at the moment. That area, my area, doesn't need change and won't for the near future. This is about the commercial zone of Mount Pleasant. As detailed by Alex, it is really suffering. It's scary. And when I think of the years of effort by Mount Pleasant Main Street, the business association, ANC's past and present, countless DC agencies, obviously Latino mayors, others, Latino Economic Development Corporation, lots and lots of effort, almost incalculable. And we still have this punky little street with vacancies, the derelict Doville Zone, and other signs of light. It just needs change. Chain stores can afford the rents here, but startups and small businesses cannot. The spaces are too small and too inflexible for these chain stores. And mom and pops can barely afford it, and businesses are struggling. The buildings are not tall enough to pay for their footprint, so the apartments are expensive. And they're only getting higher in rent as rent control or changes go into effect. What's worse is what the buildings don't give us. These buildings provide retail, some residential, and a little bit of office space. What they don't give is recreational facilities for teens and kids, no daycare, no play space that's near workplaces, very little office space, which hurts our daytime economy. We don't have indoor spaces that are big enough for community meetings, winter flea markets, exhibits, or theaters. We don't have any exciting multi-purpose large spaces. What we've got is inferior spaces with no potential for growth and little potential for generating jobs, more housing, or more community life. And did I mention the buildings sit shoulder to shoulder, so there's no green space or air between them? And it's density without the benefits of density, right? Because we have no height. So I'm going to summarize with 2 points. I hope I'm not talking too fast. I had to slow down because of the transit. 2 points. Many of the buildings on Mount Pleasant Street could be replaced, and I urge us to get behind planning and development.
Replaced, wrecked.
So I just want to be clear. So we can get the purposes and uses out of the buildings that we need, the community needs. And two, Those of us who live in the row house show need help, but we must not dominate this plan. We tend to want just prettify the street, which will be the death. Let's give the DC urban planners some room to plan something radically wonderful for our commercial district. Because without change, we will have decay.
Thank you. Now, the way we work is discussion. Is there any discussion of these points? Questions or comments?
Dave Bosserman, I appreciate Barbara's presentation, especially the idea that we're suffering from a lack of density. This has been a controversial subject in Mount Pleasant. A lot of people are afraid of density. Anytime anything's proposed, they say, oh no, it'll bring more traffic, it'll bring more people from the outside world, and we want our little community to stay the way it is. So I think we should talk about that.
Part of the discussion is talk about it. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I'll leave that to later.
Okay. So you'll come. We'll come back to you, and you'll make a more extended statement. Is that a promise, Dave? Silent Dave.
All right.
It's hard to. He always votes, but it's hard to get it to talk. Yeah. Eleanor Hart.
Well, you know, we are a historic. We are a historic district, and fortunately or unfortunately, almost every building. They're in historic districts, they designate the buildings that contribute to the district, and that means if it's a contributing building, it means you can do less and less with it, and almost every building on Mount Pleasant Street has been designated a contributing building. Now, changing the historic district may be something people want to look at long range, but that's going to take a long time. So I think we need to focus on what we can do in spite of, you know, the sort of rigid building footprint we have here, what things we can do in spite of that, because we could really get stuck on that forever.
Claudia.
I've been in this neighborhood a long time and been engaged in efforts around trying to assist the businesses on Mount Pleasant Street and working with Main Street and the Business Association and others in the ANC in the last several years to address restrictions on the businesses that have hurt them economically and in ways that have made it hard for them to respond to changes in the neighborhood. In the last several years, this community has come together around the issue of what to do with Mount Pleasant Street. I think I personally have probably been involved in 10 different meetings, one like this one with the ANC several months ago, community meetings, something that Main Street planned. I mean, there have been lots of them. And I know, Tariq, when you did your sort of homework on Mount Pleasant, you pulled a lot of all those statements together. And there's a lot of consistency in terms of what residents have said about the vision of Mount Pleasant Street. I'm hearing for the first time, or no, not the first time, I think Greg was the one who mentioned it the last time the OP Advisory Committee met, this notion of, you know, building up in high density. And I think what, we have a lot of issues. I totally agree with Barbara on the initial part of her statement, talking about the challenges we face, the empty building. I agree with Eleanor. As a community, we need to work together to put pressure on our elected officials to do something about that. The mayor stood there the day the building burned down and said the tenants would be back in a year. Didn't happen. We have a lot of vacancies. We have a lot of issues around, you know, as you said, sort of just general degradation of the street. But this notion of kind of raising Mount Pleasant Street and sort of starting over actually to me is shocking, because I think what makes Mount Pleasant unique is the fact that we are this kind of village within a village, low density, kind of mishmash, charming, place, and that the potential for Mount Pleasant to be commercially successful, supporting jobs, safer, vibrant, a place where our community comes together, I think comes from taking what we have, cleaning it up, getting rid of the restrictions, making it better, getting some resources in. And there may be some buildings, for example, if the Deauville is rebuilt, you might be able to do some different things with it. But frankly, I don't want to live in Columbia Heights. I don't want to live, I call it Corporate Heights.
You do.
And I like the contrast and the difference, and that's what makes us unique. And so that's what I believe, and that's what I've heard a lot of people say. Really, this notion, all I can think of is what they did to U Street, that part of U Street, I guess it is, where they took down the old buildings and they created that whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. How do you translate? Yeah. I'm a transcript. So that's just...
I want to ask something. Dando oportunidades sobre los históricos que dice la señora. Historic movement, le dice sobre el cambio que hubo sobre el festival de Festival Latino acá en Montesa. Si es el festival de Latino Festival en Montesa. Si esto es histórico, no sé. No se llegó a una consulta a la comunidad de Carmen Fresa para hacer el cambio para la 14 Street.
If this is a historic site, nobody asked the Latino community about the change of the place of the festival that it was structured to the 14th Street.
Para cambiar una ventana tenemos que hacer tantas gestiones y todo, pero para ellos cambiar algo para otro lugar no consulta a la comunidad.
If we have to change a window because the buildings are historic, we need to ask many permissions and many things, and nobody asks us related with the change about the Latino Festival. And
but then, excuse me, Alice Kramer.
I'm going to recognize everybody. So we'll move around, and she, I've heard her finish.
About acerca los históricos, sí, pero también con problema del edificio que ya casi todos están mencionando. Yo vivo al lado de ese edificio, y eso es para mí un gran problema. Ese polvo que se levanta, y nosotros no vamos a salir.
And related to this building that you mentioned, for me it's a huge problem because there are many dust, a lot of dust because of the construction, and this is a huge problem for us.
Could you specify again what the problem is?
El polvo, el dust. Ahora que es verano, no puedo yo poner aire acondicionado en mi cuerpo, en mi sala, que da la escalera de escape y da el edificio. Tengo que abrir mi ventana para que entre el aire y al mismo tiempo entra el polvo que está en el edificio que está ahí estancado.
Especially the dust, and especially in summer, I can't open the window and I can't use the air conditioner. So when I open the window in my living room, I have all the dust that comes from the building that they are under construction.
Y otro de los problemas es el parqueo. Estas personas que andan poniendo tickets, uno medio se para y estando dentro del carro, le pone ticket y no le dan un tiempo como para moverse. No es como la policía que le dice a uno, muévase. Ellos que solo ponen el ticket y eso es groseramente.
On the other hand, the other problem is the parking. There are many people in the making tickets, and even when we are in the car and they don't give us time to move out or to of the car or something like this, because even when we are in the car, they give us a ticket. This is totally different from the police, that they always wait until we move or we have that kind of action.
Good. Jack?
I'm trying to hear this.
Okay. Let me give myself a moment to respond to Eleanor Hart's statement on historic district. Tendenay is the historic preservation office officer assigned to Mount Pleasant, and he told me that we can, that D.C. is almost unique amongst the country's historic districts, that we have an out for economic functionality. So if we can show, in effect, large-scale benefits or economic functionality for improvement in by changing the zoning envelope, then if that case is made, then the historic restrictions can be relaxed. So it is not, we are not fixed. It's just simply that we bear the burden of proof that the improvements will be substantial. So while it is true that in almost all other places, once you have historic designation, then your flexibility is very little. That is not the case in D.C.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
Tariq Bolden, D.C. Office of Planning. That rule primarily applies to historic districts that have a lot of vacant land, whereas the historic district may prohibit development. Mount Pleasant, being a place that is primarily built out, it is very hard to make that case under those circumstances. I also have spoken to him extensively recently. It's unlikely that the historic designation would be removed from Mount Pleasant because of the built-out nature of the environment. That restriction, that opportunity that you spoke of, primarily works in places where the historic district, and over time, the area has become dilapidated to where you have vacant lots, vacant buildings, complete, basically, yes, infill lots. And then the restriction can be, in a place like Mount Pleasant, it is highly unlikely that would apply.
Well, then let me say that I discussed this with him comprehensively, number two, so we could get a better reading, perhaps, from the case law tests of this. But no one has here said the removal of the historic designation. So that condition that you placed upon your comments was not part of the...
Well, condition or relaxing or any changes in it whatsoever.
Well, okay. Yes, ma'am. And then I know your way.
Irving Street.
Hey, say your name again.
Rebecca Shannon, Irving Street, 25 years. This block, not in the letter district that was in contact with. Okay. 1600 block. It was my understanding, though, that you could possibly build up a couple stories and still not have a big historic district issue. Is that not true, or didn't you mention that at your...
The historic district primarily preserves the facade of the building. The historic, because whatever is considered contributing to the historic nature of the community, meaning the facade, what is built above it and what can possibly be done with that is not what's restricted. It's just a matter, it's really a restriction on raising a historic building and rebuilding that site. That is the reason why the Deauville shell is still there, because if that person takes down the wall, he cannot rebuild that building to the same size.
Okay. I just wanted to say that personally, I remember a couple years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, Eleanor, somebody was thinking about building up down near, maybe knocking down the garage and building up to the state. Like,
there's been a whole lot of building up in the residential area.
I think this was like the Wilson's garage, that building that they were... Somebody has mentioned the possibility of building over that, and I was really against it at the time. And then it really got to me that these buildings that are so small really aren't, don't pay the rent. You know, the floor, I mean, the ground level rent is exorbitantly high because they don't make any other income from the building. And I think that personally, if that case is made, I, for one, would, you know, change my mind, because I think that that's the only way that we can have a vibrant commercial district. I certainly would support that in a way that I just didn't get it before, you know, so.
Thank you. Alex Keller.
I supported what Derek is about and lost the thought, but with Claudia's, I'm not interested in changing the footprint of Mount Pleasant to look like Columbia Heights or U Street, or take away the uniqueness of what Mount Pleasant is. You know, we've been sitting with the Duvel because I've understood that it's been zoning and it's been historic, and so that's, you know, it's promising that your grant says something, but we don't get anywhere. So if we're going to sit here and do this proposal of what to change for historic and zoning, then this is a very futuresque plan of what we're talking about here, and it's very frustrating because I don't think we have that kind of time if you want Mount Pleasant to survive and to keep up. And so I think we need to think, I recognize what you're saying about zoning issues, historic, all this kind of stuff, but there needs to be more immediate efforts made than waiting out these legal battles for all of this.
Bill Ponto.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've been a Mount Pleasant resident for about 10 years now, so there's definitely people in this room who have a better understanding of what this neighborhood used to look like. But when I think about what we want this neighborhood to look like in 2 years, it's a lot like what it used to look like 3 or 4 years ago. Busier streets, denser storefronts, more active people. But, you know, I think we need to realize that whatever efforts that we get involved in terms of visioning Mount Pleasant, we do need to keep it relatively aligned with what's possible within the next few years. Because if we start talking about tearing things down and building things up, we're only going to experience the Doville
everywhere.
And frankly, I hear people say, I don't want this to turn into Columbia Heights. Let's think about what Columbia Heights was 5 years ago. It was a wasteland. And it was for years. Years and years it was a wasteland. Just empty lot after empty lot after empty lot. I mean, all of 14th Street, all of 13th Street. They've been struggling to overcome the economic situation of raising and tearing down. We have a great neighborhood in this city. We have a great neighborhood that has managed to accommodate a wide range of socioeconomic and cultural differences. And to me, what's very important is that we think of ourselves as part of a whole. It's destructive, I think, to think that Mount Pleasant exists as an island, and that we need our own special set of facilities, that we need our own special this and our own special that. There are facilities within Ward 1, there are facilities within Ward 4, which is very close, Ward 3, and so on and so forth, that are very close to us. And we need to figure out ways that we can send our residents and our community members out there so that they can bring people back in. So we don't need specialized facilities on all things, but we do need to find ways. I agree with the idea of more density, more office space, that kind of thing. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater so that we can start anew.
Thank you, Phil. So if I hear, there are two different segments here. One arguing for more density and the consequences from it, and saying we can profit. Essentially saying if we all work together, well, that's one way to do. Everybody agrees that that will take more time. And there are people who say that, well, they would prefer not to have U Street or something like that, if that's what it's going to be like, and besides, that's in the future, and we also need to focus on the present. Is that a summary of where we stand so far? And by the way, I was at the meeting with Jim Graham and the owners of the building, my understanding of the situation is different from the way it's been represented. But that's not unfortunate for this meeting.
Could you say what that is? Because I think the dome mill is a critical issue from that Pleasant Street.
Okay. In my mind, the critical issue is, and I made an issue of it, confronting Peter Nichols. Peter Nichols has not been paying attention. I've gotten agreements from high officials in the government, including Nick Majeed and others, to do something, and they can't tell me what's happening, but my surmise is that Peter Nichols has not been paying attention to this, and he has not been moving the thing along. There could be as much as $100,000 a day fines, which we took the balance. They have not been applied. And so it is not Jim Graham that we have to push, because he is, in the meetings, he's pushing as hard as he can. It is, in fact, the way that, that other things are being organized. I could go through all the legal entanglements, but it seems to me that the critical one is that that with private property rights and with the delay of the law, unless somebody puts a big fire under the owners, then we're not going to have much change.
Well, I just want to say that we've put a big fire under Peter Nichols in the past and got responses, and I'm unfortunately wrapped up with the appeal from, and that's, but and I have limited time, but what I will say is that I will work with anybody on the ANC and Eleanor and Alex or whoever, but that there are ways that we can light a fire under Peter Nichols, and I'd be happy to work with anybody who wants to work with me on that.
There are two other processes going on of major building owners and representatives of some of the more influential civics right now, and they have just been hooked up, and I think we will see more going on. Fortunately, the way these things often work is that they want to operate in stealth. I don't understand why they feel they need to do so. We also have to work with Blake Biles of Arnold and Porter.
Yeah, I know Blake. So. All right, I don't want to take a time.
Who represents five of the building associations that are at the college. So I hear there was, I didn't see there was a hand back.
Barbara.
I just had, I wanted to understand, Barbara, what Phil LaPonte was saying. When you talked about sharing resources with other boards, and you talking about recreational resources like soccer fields and things.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you say that, and I was responding to that. I mean, do we need a rec center when there's a rec center in Ray Reed, or there's a rec center in Tacoma Park, or there's a rec center in Turkey Thicket, or there's a new rec center that just opened up in Cleveland Park or Henleytown? You know, we have a very close-in neighborhood. Like you said, it's very dense. And so let's find ways to program that space for uses that don't necessarily sit idle for long portions of the day, that drive an economy, that serve jobs and small business and the needs of all types of residents, as opposed to just recreational facilities, which we already have to a certain limited degree in relative supply. I mean, we have enough, I think.
I just wanted to make sure that's what you said, so I can review it
so
carefully.
In trying to focus on a few things and go into depth, which is what the commercial quarter discussion and asked Jack, and he's also supported this. We have now the issue of recreation facilities, parks and recreation facilities, as part of the future of Mount Pleasant. I think it's both immediate and longer term. Now, I would like to use the role of the chair to call on new people first, in case anyone wants to speak next. Jack.
It seems to me that any commercial area, in order to prosper, needs two things. It needs parking, and needs to have an anchor store for other establishments. that draws people to the neighborhood. Mount Pleasant is really hurting for parking. So a lot of people are deterred from coming here just because they cannot depend on finding a place to park when they come here. The other issue, a magnet store, an anchor store, the closest we have to that is the best way. I think we need to do better. We need to bring the Columbia Heights has the target. You need something that really brings people to the neighborhood, and we right now we don't have that. And if we don't do something about those two viabilities, I don't think anything else is going to solve our problem.
She has
spoken
in response to that, I think that's the beauty of
Please give your name.
Sorry, I think that's the beauty of Mount Pleasant. You have the big box stores over there if you want them, but then you have a lot of little businesses here. And so if you don't want to go to, you know, Ruby Tuesdays or something that you get in every other part of the country, this is something that's different and it's unique. And if you had something that was unique, that was an anchor store, great, but I also think that there's a lot here that...
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
I agree, it's charming, but is it economically viable? I mean, look at Fibers, which seems to be on flat ropes. Look at Post Pringles, which seems to manage, but nobody's making a lot of money on the bus. I think we need to...
But I still would say, as an anchor store is not what is going to help. You identify best way as the closest thing to an anchor. So why not put the efforts into the existing best way? They're working now on their, you know, their facade. Don Juan is working on trying to do outdoor. I mean, why are we recreating everything when we have what we need to make this all happen? Invest in ourselves, invest in what we have. We're looking beyond what the girl next door, we have one this year.
I would like to make sure that we don't bounce around too much in this side. We have a pending request to speak from Claudia Schlossberg,
which
I want to keep up.
No,
but before we leave recreation facilities, is there anyone else that would like to address that?
Recreation? You know, we have Bell right next door. And yes, you know, being friendly, I don't know how accessible, a lot of great space they have in there for community meetings, for kids to play, and, you know, it's very, very controlled, and, you know, I think it's right there. It's not as big, you know, we have to create that right next door. It's just an issue that we should develop and work with a city, and that is a city-owned school.
Good.
You know, what are...
And I,
how why is it not open to the
I
community?
Can make a report on where we stand on that.
Dada tu agradecimiento al señor sobre el parqueo, eso sería una sugerencia para un para largo plazo. El edificio
es su nombre
Rosa.
Rosa.
Rivas.
Following what he said about the parking, would that be a long time goal? And about the building?
Ajá, el edificio que se ha tomado, yo digo que se hiciera unos cuatro plantas abajo para un parqueo, sería un futuro, ¿no?
And I would say that the building that the burned down, that maybe we can, they can build four levels down for parking.
Eso sería una idea.
That
would be a good idea. Creo que sí. Público y así como hacen en algunas tiendas, le estampan. Si van a una tienda, le estampan con así como el Giant y el Free, pero para otra
persona puede ser público y para que some big store that they can stamp your so the people that live here will find parking spaces on the street, some parking.
I don't believe you've spoken. Are you going to speak now?
No, not right now.
Did you Could you hold your hand up?
Just scratch your nose and,
we will go with it. Let me also give myself a moment or two.
Just look over here.
Over here. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
First, your name?
Oh, Michael.
Michael?
Michael. No, only my mother calls me.
Michael. Mike.
El.
El.
I wanted to follow up on what she was saying, and a couple other folks have expressed about short-term action. This is, you know, coming from an organizing background and stuff like that. You can get bogged down on these big questions of, you know, are we going to have a parking garage a couple of doors down, and all this other stuff that takes years and may not be any results. And then people gradually stop showing up at meetings because meetings become sessions where people get into these long theoretical things. Or you can kind of focus on stuff that you can be doing now, but it sounds like there's a lot of options in terms of figuring out how to better use existing spaces, work with schools, other community rec centers, work with cleaning up the streets and things like that. Being more utilitarian than what they have now, but it sounds like that productive that would get folks more engaged about. You know, there's also a continuing discussion about how do you address over the next 10, 20 years. Really, those are the questions in 20 years. If we can bog down, I think, and if people stay involved.
Would you help me by summarizing what you just said?
In terms of keeping folks engaged, it's good to have things they can be engaged in as opposed to not doing.
Wow. Good, thank you. Now, I was going to get myself a moment on the issue of parks and recreation, just as a report on some of the things going on. Number one, the apparent distance or availability of other recreational centers depends upon your own circumstances. People that are used to cars or to are proficient in biking may think that and they're young and healthy and can make these distances quickly, have a different point of view than many others. So, I can report that at least in my district, most of the people think that the Marie Reed and the Girard Street programs are just too far away and they don't build any. Secondly, that opinion is also built by a survey done in the process of organizing about 60 educational programs that exist within about 6 or 7 blocks from here. And they feel that those other facilities are too far away for them to do things. Next, the ANC, and with the help of Main Street in this case, asked that that what we are calling Lamont Rec, the block or two green space that exists if Lamont Street were continued on down. As it turns out, Bell Lincoln did have a memorandum of understanding where they took control of that, and they dug up $500,000 soccer facility in doing it, but they lost their copy of the memorandum of understanding. Therefore, that space can be available once the fiscal crisis is over and we and the council can allocate $500,000 or so to upgrade that facility, and it will then serve many of our local schools and local residents that, who, from their perspective, feel they cannot and, in fact, do not go there.
Can you say where that's located one more time?
You mean the old soccer field?
Yes.
That was put together with volunteers.
Well, there was also donations for irrigation equipment and lights and fencing and so on.
So that's on the other side of 60th Street.
Yes.
That's not
No, but it's next door.
There used to be a rec center at Bancroft years ago. And I don't know at what point it was closed down, but there was a DC rec center at Bancroft Elementary School.
Good, and that's part of perhaps what we should do. Phil,
you guys wiggle in your chair.
People help me.
I just wanted to say, I was being too tough on you. I'm not calling for a rec center per se. When we did some interviewing with kids as part of the ANC grant, we excluded it, didn't make it to the finish line. We found that the high school kids can't play at the
The kids, the high school kids, can't play on the Bancroft basketball hoop until after 6 because there's an after-school program with younger kids, and the school doesn't want younger kids and rowdy teenagers mixing. So from 3 until 6, the teenagers have no sports they can play in the neighborhood. They can go to the baseball field, but they have to have a bat and ball and all of that stuff. They can play tennis, but they have to have equipment for that. And they don't like it. We ask them, you know, why don't you go to these other neighborhood centers? And even though they're able to walk, they just don't. And so what we think about with new buildings is flexible space. So for 1 year, you can have pool hall. And they also don't like big places either. They kind of like cozy buildings. So, you know, basketball courts, swimming pools. When you get new construction, you can do anything you want.
In this case, Claudia has been...
Well, no, I don't even remember at this point what I was going to respond. Oh, I think it was Jack's comment about anchors or Tarka. There are ways to make destinations that don't require an anchor. And again, we've talked a lot about this in Main Street, in the responsible hospitality planning that's gone on, the OP process, and other meetings, which is you create, in a way, you almost create a theme or identity for the commercial strip that draws people. I think of other neighborhoods, I guess Tacoma Park comes to mind. I can't think of a single,
Kensington
or Hyattsville. I can't think of a single store, but people know, you know, you go to Tacoma Park if you want, you know, granola type, you know, stores. And
well, you know, Adams Morgan. What's the magnet in Adams Morgan?
Yeah, but it's not it's the theme of the neighborhood, and again, the vision that a lot of people have expressed is this multicultural experience, which right now is kind of not that rich because we have so many vacancies, but you know, you have Hades on one end, you have Don Juan's on the other. We, you know, we can fill that in. We have some really cool retail places, but we don't have enough, and we have other things happening that are detracting. But it's for me, I think it's very feasible that we could create a theme, if you will, for Mount Pleasant that doesn't require us to invite in a big box store or, you know, an Elwood organic market or something. I mean, we have, for example, one of the things that we've become known for is our farmers market on Sunday. Heller's. People know Heller's. I've actually gone, when I've handed out flyers and things, I've gone into Heller's, I've gone into Don Jaime's for breakfast, and I've gone into Hades many times, and I said, where are you from? A lot of people are not from Mount Pleasant. They know to come here. They come from other places because they know Heller's, they know you get a great breakfast at Don Jaime's. We just need more of that.
Hey, we're now added to the agenda of the nature of and mix of businesses on the street as a topic to go into some depth. We've heard from a number of people about the kind of experience on the street that they'd like to visit. Let me appeal to the people that have not been speaking that may want to talk about the of whom there are about half here, and about what do the people in Mount Pleasant need as convenience street, especially the perhaps the majority of the population that don't have cars, and thus this is a very important part of it. Is there anyone here that would be willing to speak to the needs of that segment of the neighborhood? We knew from an earlier show of hands that the Garden District is represented 2-1, and yet the demographics suggest that the apartment dweller area is perhaps 3 or 4-1 in terms of the actual population. So is anyone willing to, are you willing to address that issue, Tariq?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I first wanted to, in addition to that issue, I wanted to add some of the things I've heard have maybe perhaps I need to clarify the purpose of this plan just a little bit. This small area plan is for the commercial corridor, focusing primarily on the commercial corridor, and it's a revitalization plan. And the reason why I state that is the zoning and historic and all of that is really just a segment of the plan. The primary focus is the revitalization of the commercial strip. What can be done, what resources can be applied to revitalizing the strip to bring it back to where it was or even better than where it's ever been. That's the focus of the plan.
Let me interrupt and say this meeting is not restricted to the Office of Planning's conception.
I know, I'm just explaining what exactly our focus of our plan is.
Yes.
I understand what the meeting is.
So in no way should anyone take your clarification
sure.
of your interest and process to being a constraint on the topics we discuss here.
Thank you. I was just wanted to clarify a little bit, just in case there were any questions about what this process is about. There is that. Now, as far as the business mix, I just wanted to let people know that we're currently in the process of doing a market study to really understand what is there, what type of things are being utilized, what's being underutilized, what is the repetition in that process. We will then publish this information, we'll put it on our website. We've recently been putting as much information on our website as possible about this process. And it is an effort to try and really understand what's here, how is it doing, how it can be helped. But we are very interested in hearing over and over again exactly what you feel like you would like to see.
Rick, how are you taking care that your survey, unlike all the ones that have been done here before, mm-hmm. will pay attention to the needs of the residents?
It's not a need survey, it's just the market of the existing conditions. It's just simply analyzing what is there. It's not really making any judgments about needs or anything else. That's for the community to determine the needs. We're just simply stating what is there as technically as possible.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
I'm used to running.
You're not.
I know. It's a habit. It just, I've lost myself for a minute.
Okay. Now, Shannon, you're first.
I wanted to say something about, I can't remember what the thought was actually. It was on what Claudine had said, and Jack had said about anger. I wanted to point out that, you know, in Cleveland Park, they're having some of these same issues that we're having right now. With the Starbucks closed, the little empty consignment store, and now the 7-Eleven now, and the McDonald's has never been filled. And I would like to point out again that the 7-Eleven is in an apartment building thing, but all those other stores that are closing are in the same kind of buildings that we have over here, with only one level, one piece of income for the owner of that property, the ones that Mrs. Mazza used to own their prison row, with where they built up. They now have two or three stories on those. Seem to be doing much better, you know. So just to go back to that, they have some things that bring people to the neighborhood, and they have parking too, you know, pretty good parking. It's where I go when I'm on my way home from work and in the car and I know I'm not going to be able to find a spot in Mount Pleasant, I go over and pay. But they've got the Uptown Theater, they've got some, you know, reliable restaurants and stuff like that. So those don't necessarily agree.
I don't mean to say that nobody can understand you, but sometimes it helps clarify what's thinking. If you can go back and then pick out a few of your essential points as a summarization.
No, thanks.
Can I ask Derek about the small,
Tariq, I'm sorry.
Yes.
The small area plan has been completed?
No, we're far from, I mean, we're in the early stages. We're just in the gathering input stages of the plan. That's, we're still just asking the community what would they like to see, and we're there. We're far from them.
So I come back to the issue that was left. What do the people that don't have easy access to cars, which I suggest are the majority of Mount Pleasant residents, for whom the commercial strip is a primarily serves. what are their interests and what are they need, and how are we going to find out what their interests, in a sense, ethical participation demands that we find out the interests of everybody, what the alternatives that we can present to them, and the consequences for their involvement. Yes?
Well, I find that... Right,
please give your name.
Paul Motzo. I find...
I still don't hear your name.
Paul Motzo.
Motzo?
Motzo. Motzo.
Thank you, Motzo.
Corrupted Italian. Let's get better.
Jeff.
I find that, as someone who doesn't have a car, I can get to most everything fairly easily on Metro. The one thing that is the hardest to get to, or on my feet, because I go to Adams Morgan a lot on my feet, is a bookstore. That's the one thing that's missing from D.C. pretty much. But that's the one thing that comes to mind as something that's missing here in this whole area of downtown.
Paul, well, what's your feeling about intervention in the marketplace? You know the bookstores are disappearing everywhere.
Oh, I know.
Are you suggesting that the plan should intervene in the marketplace and try to subsidize certain kinds of stores?
Not at all. You asked what did people who don't have cars miss, and that is the one thing that I can come up with. To be perfectly honest.
Please again.
Sorry, Abby Lindsay. A Goodwill. So you have a shopping for a thrift store. There, you have shopping.
Well, there's a thrift store right here on the corner. Urban. Yes. Yeah, welcome to the neighborhood.
That's so surprising. Wait, where?
Next to the credit union. Well, which one of Miss Pixies is what you want, or for the guys that are up one? That's true for Dad now.
I haven't been up that far.
No.
Well, I would like to ask that the group, for just for a moment, undertake an exercise to think in their minds, what does a family that has perhaps less than $25,000 a year income, less than $35,000 certainly, that does not have a car, where members are working several jobs, what kinds of... First of all, I hope that everybody would agree with me that if we're going to maintain a multi-ethnic, multi-economic neighborhood, we have to serve their needs too. And that they deserve time, they deserve our time, even if people here don't have their mind wrapped around that. Let's not wrap our mind around it for a while. But what kinds of needs do they... should we serve them, because right now they're the majority of the neighborhood.
Well, I think, first of all, we really have to look at these two buildings, not only the Global, but the one on the Phoenix, in the living space. I have done a lot of interviews of Latinos in this area in the last 30 years, and the stories I always get, I always try to place them in what neighborhood they're in. Their neighborhood is Columbia Heights, wasn't called Columbia Heights, Mount Pleasant, Adams Morgan, all the way to Dupont Circle. These could be, kids walk. So I don't think that is, whether you have a car or don't have a car, I never use my car, by the way. But in talking to all these people, their stories are all linked with their playground. And their playground was four neighborhoods. So I think the mobility, we're getting to be people that don't walk at all. But I think kids still move around. I mean, just as a caution, using that as a factor of what we need to give, for the neighborhoods.
So their kids, at least, can move around. Yeah. How about the adults that actually end up spending most of the money? What do they need?
More money.
So it seems like we have a hole in our discussions on the future of Mount Pleasant, is that we don't have a good way to deal with it. Yes?
Let me point out, Greg, Jack, okay. The first requirement is that Mount Pleasant Street be a place where businesses can prosper. Because if businesses cannot prosper, it's not going to serve anybody's needs. And we know that people who don't have cars, and certainly want to support lifestyles without cars, need to have services within walking distance, like markets. Fine. But in order to have the markets, you've got to have a commercial strip, which is a lot. And I'm happy for that remark about Cleveland Park, because Cleveland Murphy is facing the same problem. That they seem to have all the advantages, and yet stores are going out of business, and nobody's moving into the vacant places. Yep, yes. Why is nobody moving in? It's because, it's largely because, I didn't. The facilities are too small. They are too small to be economically viable. And in terms of planning, I think we have to ask what changes we have to make to the regulations so that we can fill large enough stores that they will be economically viable. And so that there's been that process. And that is true.
So we have another voice in favor of more building. Now, I also noticed that we don't have, we have quite a few people on this side that I'm turning my back to. Let me try going around and seeing if they have comments right now, because we've heard from almost everybody over here several times.
Jeremy, what's the difference? Yeah, well, I talked to people in my apartment building after we had our meeting on Saturday. Just about everyone likes bicycling way of life. And that's, I mean, no one wanted really to change anything. They like having the access to these stores over on 14th Street. They like the fact that they're on 14th Street and they're not here. And they like to be able to work out at Morgan or to get drunk or whatever. But, they're happy with what we have. But they're happy that they can jump on a bus and go across the city to the east or the west, or they can go north-south, or they have the metro.
Are they happy with the rent increases?
No. That's the only thing. That's the only thing.
So that's one of the driving forces that we have there. Is that rents are going to continue to increase greatly, and perhaps drive everybody out on continuous. So this is an issue, another issue that seldom is discussed, that we should get into some depth. Steve Watson. Now, I believe Phil had his hand up.
There are two things that I want to address, both of which Jack mentioned, which is the concept of the magnet store along with the size of space, and the other thing is parking. I think if you look at Columbia Heights right now, they have a vast amount of parking that is unused. There are something on the order of 1,500 parking spaces in the basement of DCUSA that have 80% vacancy. That is a tremendous waste of money. The vast majority of people who shop and live in Columbia Heights get there by metro or on foot. So that's one thing that I want to put out there. If we put up parking as something that we really need, we may be missing an opportunity for utilization by non-parking, because when you facilitate cars, it takes up a lot of space. The second thing is...
Well, can we use that space at Columbia Heights?
It's a public space. In fact, the businesses have no control over those spaces. You can't go to Target and get validated for that space. You have to pay a dollar. You have to pay $2. The cost of those parking spaces is way below what it costs to park on the street. So we could advertise that parking garage as a resource for this neighborhood if we were trying to do that.
And create some jitneys or something that would
work. Yes, pedicabs. You know,
exactly a good idea.
But let me follow up on the size of spaces in the magnet store. Again, if we can allow businesses to come into this area and prosper. I think Greg has mentioned this several times, the idea of an incubator zone or an innovation zone in which, I don't know, the city subsidizes rents or the city overly taxes commercial space that has been vacant for greater than 9 months. If there's some sort of way that the city can lean on the landlords to
open these places up. I mean, I find it hard to believe that McDonald's has been empty for so long because nobody thinks that their customers at Woodland Park. I think the answer is the landlord has been asking way too much money for rent. You know, and there were a lot of good businesses in Woodland Park that got kicked out of Woodland Park when a bunch of restaurants went in because they went in and got, I mean, the landlord, the developer basically demanded higher rents. Out goes the ice cream place, out goes Twin Masters, all that kind of thing. We have now higher end restaurants. Well, in this economy, we can't afford the rents. Small business can't get started with these ridiculously high rents. And they can't get started when landowners refuse to engage in the marketplace. So, you know, if we're talking about missing tax revenue, let's hit the landowners. I mean, it's been closed for 12 months. I say jack up the rents, or jack up the taxes 15-20%. I mean, well, whatever, I don't want to get...
That's legislation there.
No, the... When I worked for Frank Smith for a while, when he was council member, the first thing he assigned me to work on was a jitney system. And to do a survey of parking in Ward 1. There's a tremendous amount of parking in Ward 1. It's just not easily accessible to people, and people using the stores want parking in front for a jitney that will deliver them and pick them up within 5 minutes in front. 5 minutes is a magic number. And you look at 5 minutes, and that extends us to two-thirds of a mile for a jitney to get around. The AC has backed this. We almost had the director, Monomay, when he was there, was going to work with us. And so it's a matter of not so much of building more parking right now, at least, but a better utilization.
Excuse me, I just want to know what a jitney is.
It's a small, like a little cab.
Oh,
like,
thank you. it's been used a lot. So
typically, it's in systems that are mature, there are a couple of facts. One is that they're like shared cabs. They're more like vans, like smaller vans. You get in and there's room for 6 to 8 seats. They don't have a fixed path. Places where they're successful, they operate very much with cell phones. People love them. They have arrangements with merchants or with buildings so that they can they're rapidly available.
That's sort of, I guess it's sort of like the system at airports. So we're picking up going to rent
something like
that. Well, yeah, or like what they're doing by the ballpark with the actually they're like glorified.
They're pedicabs.
They're like almost like what do you call it? Golf carts, but they're bigger. They hold about 8 people.
Oh yeah, the electric vehicles.
Electric that'd be very cool.
The other thing from Jim Grant's transportation work, got his master's degree under the prime research degrees. We know a lot about them, and the book summarizes essentially that they have. Twice the user friendliness, people like them much, twice as much as they do, big buses, and they are 40% cheaper. So it's a system that maybe we could start, but it will require, once again, I was waiting for the recovery.
It requires a destination.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there more to talk about on the issue they get?
I have a question for you.
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I think I'm trying to weave together the historic preservation piece, the economic viability of these small buildings, and urban planning, as I'm sure you studied it, like Jane Jacobs, who said, a vital urban neighborhood has multiple purposes and uses for its buildings, and also helping out here, buildings of different eras and eras of design. Mm-hmm. So, in all city that has different eras of architecture is better. So, on Mount Pleasant Street, we have 1940s right? I wish someone from HMP was here. Well, and, you know, buildings that are not Williamsburg, they're not gorgeous, and they're fairly monotonous. So the city could take a stand. From an urban planning standpoint, we want to preserve some of this interesting 1940s architecture, but we need multiple styles and eras. That's what it's called for in sophisticated urban planning. So I see you're all just making a case, hey, we're preserving one era of building, and it's not economically viable. Because we owe it to the city, as citizens helping the office of planning, to create more economic activity in this area than what the street needs the city now. Long question.
So, am I supposed to respond with that a comment?
No, you're welcome to. The point here is that we try to get more in-depth conversation than usually happens. So we're trying to focus on a few topics and really go into some depth, including asking people to fill in where we've not read.
The key thing to remember is, I agree with you in a lot of what you're saying, and we could talk about some of the other things you're saying. But the real key that I want to express over and over again is this is not a long-term plan. And the reason why I say that is those types of issues are bigger than what we're trying to accomplish here simply because of the fact that, to harp a little bit on what Jack said and what some of the other people said, there is an immediate need for revitalization on this strip. This thing is... The wheels are coming off, so to speak, and there is a sense of urgency that our office feels for what we can do here. Now, there are opportunity sites, what we consider to be opportunity sites. There are non-contributing buildings that have the opportunity to do the things that you want to do. Your first statement about historic preservation, revitalization, and urban planning, and trying to mesh that, that's exactly what I'm trying to do as well and have been trying to do for the last year almost, working on this. But our focus is really to look at what can be done over a 5-year period, over a 7-year period, with the available stock that can be used, that can be revitalized. There is nothing to say that once OP leaves this process, that we've revitalized, there's been more activity, the economic viability has begun to come back, that we cannot revisit these issues. The critical thing is, if we, in order to address the totality of everything on Mount Pleasant Street in regards to this, you're talking about a 3-4 year process, and we've been expressed from the community that maybe it can't wait that long. Maybe the businesses really cannot have, we have a lot of resources at bay right now. We have a number of resources that are waiting until this process is completed to say, okay, how does the community express to you that you want us to deploy these resources? How do you want us to work on? What types of businesses do you want us to attract? What type of facade improvements do you want us to do? Like, there's a lot of things that are just kind of waiting to be unleashed, so to speak, is trying to revitalize this strip. The longer we hold back, how much economic bleeding will continue in that period. So that it's not that we're not thinking about those things. From day one, Commissioner Edwards came to us and talked about the bigger picture, and we agreed that this is something to be addressed. But in that same conversation, more and more we heard, we need to do something now. Something has to be done now. Not to say that we're not, and that's why it's not that we're trying to take action that may hurt that long-term possibility, is we're not necessarily addressing all of the long-term possibilities right now, simply because of the fact that we have to stop the bleeding. The vacancies have to go away. That is a priority. The vacancies have to go away. There are sites that over 3, 4, 5 years can be redeveloped. We are definitely targeting the old grocery store site. We're definitely looking at what can be done with 7-Eleven. You know, those are sites that have potential for what you're talking about. The whole scale redevelopment that you're thinking about, that's such a huge process that what will really be the damage to this community if we took that route? And that's why the decision was made to address what we can address today under the existing circumstances and really work with it. Everything on Mount Pleasant Street is not contributing to the historic district and can come down and can be redone.
Well, let me suggest that we spend some time on some of these issues and go into some depth, because what we need, everybody agreed in the lead up to this, is more in-depth discussion. Mm-hmm. Because there's been a lot of misunderstandings and fears. Let me first start off recognizing Dave Balser.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that there's two threads of scale running through all these conversations. The first is on time. The immediate urgent need to do a salvage job on Mount Pleasant Street, get businesses percolating again. That's what Tariq is working on right now. The second part of the time scale is the longer. We're talking about the facades, and I think you'll be surprised at what the historic preservation people both downtown and especially locals say about the facades. Most are not worth preserving. All the facade on the Doville could be torn down now. Nobody would care. They would applaud. And yes. So you don't have that. Your feet are not in cement there. The second is
one point so we can clarify. Mm-hmm. The report that we got earlier, that it's the facades that are holding up the Doville, from all the meetings I've been in, is just not right. Essentially, everybody agrees, with the exception of some people in HBO. But almost everybody else agrees, let's damn the facades full. Let's get some of that.
I will say that OP would be happy if it was gone. He's doing it for economic reasons. It has nothing to do with preservation. That's purely an economic
decision.
But if we
give an overlay or something like that, that problem would be solved.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially. So that's really an important point.
The second thing on scale is space, and that gets into the facades. Because what makes this a village is Mount Pleasant Street, the scale. When you stand in it, you're not in a canyon. When you stand in it, the street and the heights that your eye sees relate to each other. Building density step behind as they have in other parts of the city is an idea. But if you build straight up, it will simply destroy that village feel and appearance.
Could I respond to that? Please. Because what I have in mind is taking some of the existing establishments and combining them, merging them, so that what is two or three shops that are too small to survive become one place which is large enough to survive.
That was the best way that it did that, yes.
Okay.
So we, I think I hear that there is a potential compromise of how we can deal with the higher density. Perhaps we could get three times the area if by doing some kind of setbacks. But then we would have the money coming in to be able to afford lots of incubator space.
Well, the money is the problem.
Money is the problem. And what we have to pay for this is the zoning envelope and the space above public space, perhaps balconies that a lot of the owners would want. But let me see if I can also get a sense that there is a natural, somewhat division of labor here. The Office of Planning is focused for lots of reasons upon more immediate solutions that will help the economic viability of the merchants on the street.
Not necessarily. It's also about creating a place that people want to be.
Okay, so good. So these are the two main objectives?
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay, so we're getting clarification. Now, the ANC and many of the other groups here are also concerned about the longer term. Mm-hmm. So a natural division of labor may be for the ANC in collaboration with the Office of Planning, and certainly with the various civics, is to work upon making sure that there's a framework which, so that the more immediate elements do not go against that larger framework.
Yes.
And that's a way that we can cooperate and not butt heads on this. Jack, does that make sense to you? Oliver, does that make sense to you?
Just because that's one of the reasons why there are certain aspects of the community that we are fully aware are issues that we're not addressing right now. And I know there are certain things that have come up, affordable housing and great issues, not because we don't care, it's just a situation where under this circumstance, it cannot be addressed adequately by our office in a time frame available because of the fact that we have to, quote unquote, stop the bleeding. And if we were to go into those bigger issues, it might be too late.
But we also want to make sure, just to clarify, and I'm going to seek good commentary from Dave. We also want to make sure that what you do does not set up obstacles or hinder the framework that we're
preclude something in the longer term. That's correct.
Yes. Does that make sense to you, Dave? This sort of division and collaboration.
Well, I don't know about a real division. Like we're going to let Jerry float off in his own space. I think we should give him all the assistance we can to solve our immediate problems and not expect him to work on the long term.
Okay. That's sort of what I was meaning too. But is that clear in everybody's?
I think it's very important clarification. I can take a longer view on what's going to make this a bit better. But that's not.
Yeah, and that's what we're. Not to say that there's not an opportunity. Oh, I'm sorry.
Will Streeter, do you want to speak?
No.
Okay.
I say not to say that there's not an opportunity for creating the legislative framework where should the opportunity present itself, you can do things. We're not saying that we can't work it back into the plan. But what I am saying is that's really not our focus. That's why we were making sure that the ideas that you have for the bigger picture, the longer term. Some of you saying, I've been here 25 years, I plan to be here 25 more. We just know that in order to even get to that point, there's some things that have to be addressed now. And that's really where we want to make sure that when we marshal these resources, those are things like get the Deauville fixed, get the businesses done, get the vacancies empty, so that once those things happen, then you can think about bigger picture.
The remaining time, it seems to me, because commissioners told me that they wanted us to get down to some very specific elements of that. So we're just not at the level of broad discussion, but we also have some concreteness. To make sure we're on the same page. But first, do you wish to speak with Rosa?
Y él habla sobre cosas muy concretas, de qué forma ustedes pueden ayudar políticamente para que el dueño del edificio que está solo, que hace 2-3 años está solo.
Creo que hablaba de concrete things, so children know whether what kind of concrete things we can do about the owner of the empty building.
We haven't gotten any
complaints. No.
So that the owner can lower the rent.
Y así los pequeños negociantes
pueden rent.
We haven't gotten. I just so you know, we haven't gotten that far yet. We're in the process of understanding that that's what we need to do. The strategies on how to do that are what we're working on now.
Se ha tratado de alquilar el lugar y cobran $12,000
mensuales.
Right.
Y el dueño es un millonario.
And the owners are millionaires.
I will come back to you because we have someone that hasn't spoken before. Who is getting personally supportive of that?
Yeah. I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
All the plan that we have, all that we are trying to, what you're doing is gathering information so that your plan is action. In case you come up with the plan for the revitalization of Mount Pleasant and then nothing happened, do you have a big plan?
Well, right at this time, I want to clarify, it's not going to be necessarily the way the planning process works is we getting the information to figure out what we need to work on. We come up with some ways to work on it, and we bring that back to you all. And then, because it's only going to work if the community buys in. If we come up with something that you say, you know what, we'll never support that, we're not interested in that, it's not going to work. So we're going to do our best to come up with something that the community will buy into that will help address that. We cannot make any guarantees on anything that we are going to do, but we can. That's why some of the focus is on setting the framework for it to work. It's not necessarily saying we're gonna put businesses in this place right here and give them money. Can't necessarily do that. What we can do is figure out what tools that we do have. We don't have infinite tools, but what tools we do have that can facilitate that happening. It's more about setting the stage and removing the barriers. I've heard over and over again there are challenges to getting this thing done. If once I know what they are, we can figure out. Sometimes it's just as simple as changing the regulation that allows one thing to happen versus another thing, and that can clear things up. It can really be that simple, but if I don't know what the challenge is, I can't even work on it. That's kind of where the process is. What I've found so far, just an insight into what we've found, it's more about challenges in Mount Pleasant and barriers than it has been about what's missing. So in addition to filling in the gaps, it may also be about what are some of the things that are stopping things happening, and then how do we address them? So that's also an issue, you know, as far as isn't. One example is resident full participation. It was a barrier. There are things I didn't hear. Now we're working with more so we can hear more. That's just an example of that. Maybe just that act alone will figure out what are someone else's needs that we can then address. What are some of the needs of the people, like parking? If that's an issue, maybe we may not be able to build a 200-unit parking facility, but maybe we can work on the shuttle service. Not promise anything, but at least now I know that, you know, it's just more about clearing the rocks in the road a lot of times that help revitalization. You know, just simple things like that tend to make a big difference.
We've been trying to get a jitney system here for 16 years.
I know. Well, I'm listening now.
I'm listening.
Well, I think in the room there was confusion about
the
Jitney short-term, long-term. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was trying to make a plus clarification.
The folks on the west side who were calling for immediate help is what you're working on. I didn't know your office did so much with economic development. Mm-hmm. I thought you were planners.
Well, it depends on what we can do. The issue is really we're trying to address the needs. There is a concern that if we go too far, too many people are going to get hurt in the meantime. There's an issue where we don't want to just, if we do nothing, you may have gentrification that may just push a lot of people out if we do nothing. If we do nothing, you may have all of the businesses completely go out of business and then you start from scratch. So in addition to setting the framework for the long-term future, we also have to address the needs of today and next year. Like Phil, Commissioner Lepanto said, 2 years from now, there's got to be some results from this. Because 2 more years of what's been happening, you have 8 vacancies on the strip now. In 2 years, you may have 15, 20. You know, while we're setting a framework for, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's paying for your kids' education, but not sending them to elementary school. You may never get to college if you don't send them to elementary.
Here's a specific. By the way, because I'm getting on in age, having someone in my left discombobulates my mind somewhat. That's why I prefer transmits, as well as the recordings are much better. But specifically, since one of the options is to have legislation at the end of this, mm-hmm. why can we not have legislation that sets up some special rules for planned unit developments that allows changes in the building envelope when there are major social benefits and we can specify the nature of those?
We can discuss that. That's one of the things I want everybody to understand is nothing's off the table right now.
So that, which could be a very long-term breakthrough for us, is one of the possibilities.
It's on. It can be discussed. We would have to vet it through, but it can be discussed.
Good. It's not a problem. And it's something that is an example where the AEC is more of a role in driving this, but in cooperation with the Office of Planning as well as the Office of Zoning.
We would have to see how. It's nothing's off the table. That's just really what it is. Nothing's off the table.
Yeah. Right.
A specific question.
Sure.
That, what are the barriers that have kept the Mount Pleasant supermarket vacant now for many months? What is stopping anybody from coming in and investing in that prime location to build something better there?
That building is not historic, and it's not contributing. So someone could conceivably tear it down and rebuild it. I have no idea why he's not doing it. No, you're talking about the white grocery store on Cambridge. Next to Cross Street, 7-Eleven. We actually don't know.
It's a large property.
It's not a historic building, so because we looked at that to say, is this one of the ones where the district maybe is limiting development potential? No.
Some of the current building owners are in conversations with Old Man Colmar, just died about a year ago, with the son and the daughter. And they are distracted right now, but there are ongoing inquiries towards acquiring that building, especially if we could work it out with the zoning moderate change. So I want to emphasize that. It seems to me that if we're going to retain our population, if we're going to get economic development, if we're going to have cheaper rent, then we're going to need some of these opportunities.
We can talk about those opportunities, but I don't want the community to use that, think that is going to get it done. We can't count on that. That can't be the focus. Because
then Ladonia is back with a specific challenge.
Okay.
And this comes out of several conversations I've had with Sam Brustin. And I don't think he and I would have gotten together and talked if it weren't for your advisory committee meetings. Thank you for putting people together then. He and I, at least, both agree. Primary problem for the vacancies, primary causing problem, is, and we've gotten this independently from talking with a number of building owners and leasing agents, is that people believe that we'll be out of this recession in a year or two. They're asking for 10-year leases. They calculate that it would be uneconomic for them to lower the price on a 10-year lease now when they think that they're going to get their target price of $46 a square foot, plus taxes and utilities. They have extracted that from a number of the current stores. And this has lowered their profit very low, and they're just hanging on. Most of the stores that I've interviewed and that Sam has talked with, we have different samples, but they overlap. Mm-hmm. The primary driving force is this figure of $46 a square foot. How is street dress, or palm trees, or roving minstrels, or whatever else, going to help that?
Well,
I don't know.
We haven't, like I said, once again, we have not decided to do anything. So we're just simply...
No, I'm not talking about what you have decided. I'm asking you as an expert in these areas.
Simply, well...
What are our alternatives, and what are the consequences of those? Because...
Well, it has to be a comprehensive, just to address that, it doesn't matter how low we make the rents. If this is an unattractive place, people will not shop here. So it has been expressed over and over again that one of the issues is the atmosphere and environment along Mount Pleasant Street. So it's not purely an economic thing. This is a comprehensive revitalization plan. We're looking at all aspects. We're looking at the physical environment. We're looking at the business environment, the assistance to the existing small businesses, opportunities for new economic development, what physical improvements can be made. So you cannot, from an ex-point's point of view, you cannot dismiss the beautification of an environment, no matter how economically viable it is, because then what you'll get, I always say, when you don't create a place that people feel a sense of place in addition to an economically feasible environment, what you get is the cheapest level of retail coming into that space. Because if you don't have a mixture of classes in an environment, you're going to get the lowest levels only. You want to have a situation where that family that's making $25,000 comes there to get their needs, as well as that family that's making over $150,000 sharing the same space, engaging with each other, talking with each other, and both going to Don Juan's, Don Haney's, and everything else. That is the best environment that that is our objective. Our objective is to create a place that people want to be. So it can't be a purely numbers game. Because what we've seen over and over again, when you treat it like that, you're going to get the first thing to come along. And the first thing that comes along is the cheapest thing to come along, and then you may be back at square one. You want to create a mixture.
But we don't want a various road.
Right. Oh, we're far. We're not going to do it. That's the other extreme. Exactly. I agree with you. That's the other extreme. We're not saying Barrett's Road, and you're not saying Benning Road.
Sure.
You want something in the middle. And Mount Pleasant has the capacity to
do that. We have some natural clusters of types of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There are clusters of business, say, around Hyatt's, where they're all their cousins. They're cousins. Then they're from the same area of Latin America, including across the border and so on. They could offer, and there have been discussions where they could offer a particular dress, street dress there for that half block.
Not a problem.
So we can set up something where we have a platform that can support emerging diversity and not impose. So the effort is to support the creative expression and not to impose design standards.
No, there's no denial. There's not going to be.
You had mentioned in an earlier meeting the possibility of design standards.
I've mentioned a lot of possibilities.
Okay.
That's not what I believe. But that's only because we just want to express that we're not closing the door on anything. Because the second I close the door on one thing, that's how we lead to what Oliver's talking about, where 5 years later, nothing's happened. Because you've closed the door, and maybe that door was the one that we needed to change. You leave it open. You people are the users of this, primarily the users. You are the residents and the users in this community. They are the most important people are the ones who are going to use this commercial strip. If it's a commercial strip that you do not want to be at, there's nothing that you want to buy, there's nothing that you, no reason for you to go over there, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars get invested.
We have 5 minutes left,
so, that's
so I suggest we use that just for a quick around the room. Barbara?
I'm glad that you're aware that the long-term planning needs to be done. It's a very elegant, multifaceted, long and short-range thing you're doing. I love the idea of the PE bikes, penny bikes, mm-hmm. to get people from the parking garage over to Mount Pleasant Street. I think that's a cool idea. We're going to put me on the mouth of Main Street about that. Best way.
They have it in Adams Morgan.
Like a Korean market, like they have in the suburbs. I'm going to think of an anchor that still sounds like Mount Pleasant. Best way, you know, the Korean markets have little sub stores inside. You can sit down and have Korean food. And you still have a largely Latino product line. But those, and so the little gift shop next to Best Way would be subsumed in Best Way as a little boutique within the store.
Thank you, Barbara. We need to leave the remaining 4 minutes.
Yeah, so, but I thought of one thing that I lost.
You can do it later. Chairman.
You can do it one more time.
No.
I lost it. It took me 4 minutes.
Okay, basically, I don't have much to add here. Basically, people in my building are concerned about too much change happening to me when it's going up too much. They're more scared of change than the status quo.
That's very clear. I agree with you. That's the dominant.
And I hate it, and no one knows what the alternatives are.
That's the other thing. And we have to have discussion, but that means getting your building association back on track. Jack.
As you know,
Street. I live way on the west end of Mount Pleasant. And down at my end of this neighborhood, there's a lot of money, a lot of wealthy people. That money is not being spent on Mount Pleasant Street.
That's right. I understand.
And my question has always been, how do we change that? How do we get people who live here just a block away to spend the money here instead of in Bethesda?
That's right. And that's as comprehensive as we're trying to get. And the funny thing about it is, there's been a mythical struggle of, well, we can't have, those people can't come here because then the other people get pushed out. And other people say, well, you know, we can't attract them because it's for us. And then the funny thing is, there's so many vacancies and there's so much opportunity. You can't tell me that there's not enough space for everybody on Mount Pleasant Street. You know, this place is not 100% occupied and there's no room for any other types of businesses or any other types of users. If the eight or nine vacancies that are there now were simply filled up, you can keep everything that is existing and still bring nine new businesses that may appeal to other people and have a vibrant strip.
The experts I talked to say that they're given the propensity to get in their car and go elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, we're going to change that. You got to have hope.
Then let's see. The best
campuses,
because otherwise, it sounds like you're almost entirely focusing upon this other hope without an evidentiary base.
No, we're looking at there's enough room there, and even with the potential development for everyone. That is our belief. That is what we're going off of. If reality changes that, that's so be it. But that is our base, that there is enough here for everyone.
I need an evidentiary base because it sounds like it is a one-sided hope. Oliver.
Before everybody goes, if you have a piece of paper, at least check out. I don't know if everyone has looked at the website so you can get a more in-depth look at the plan. I apologize. I should have did that when the room was bigger. But just an opportunity, if you're not familiar with where we are and what this is about and the meeting notes and things of that nature, we're going to be launching our online survey next week. It should be up this week, but it'll be launched next week.
What is the website?
It's www.planning.dc.gov. And then click on the link that says...
Could you give her that later so I can edit the end of the meeting on time? There will just be a election.
Jay.
Well, I certainly have been educated about the urgency of the short-term rescue of Mount Pleasant Street, and I think we should get on with it.
I'll give them 4 minutes to muy bonito lo que él dice, cambio y todo, pero ¿por qué no comienza empujando al alcalde Fenty para que levante el edificio y le baje la renta a los demás espacios pasivos? Comenzar por ahí.
Everything that you say sounds beautiful, but why don't we try to push Mr. Fenty to try to lower the rent here in Mount Pleasant?
The construction, the building, and it's long down the areas.
And to rebuild the building that is, which has got the shell in there, and to lower down the rent.
Well, it's 7 minutes until 9 o'clock.
It's 9:01.
Some of us were and with bated breath waiting for the end of that website.
Yes, please.
I was actually writing it down for you. Okay.
No.
So it's on planning.dc.gov.
Yeah, and then click
on the link that says neighborhood plans. And the first link in Ward 1 is Mount Pleasant Revitalization Plan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you all.
Well, thank you.